Please turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 52, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103, page 52. We come to the fourth commandment and what we confess regarding it. We'll read the question and answer responsively. Question 103 asks, what is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that, especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Let's take our Bibles and turn in them to the book of Psalms, Psalm 42 and 43. It's found on page 595. Begin reading on that page. You can see this starts book 2 of the book of Psalms. It's divided into various books. This is the first psalm in book 2. People of God, hear now the very words of God. To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise. Multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. As far the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, what's your family life like? Let me ask this, what would you think of a family that does not eat together, work together, worship together, spend time together? Well, sadly, that describes many households in our society. They don't know each other. Now let's pivot to our relationship with God and with each other in church, spiritual family? How much time do you spend with God? Personal time, yes, but also corporate time, time as a body. This is important. It's so important. God has set aside a whole day, one day in seven, to spend time with Him. Now, week by week, as we read the Ten Commandments, we come to the fourth commandment. We read about not working on the Sabbath day. How do you understand that command? Is God speaking only about laboring or not laboring on that one day? What does it mean that we are to keep the day holy? Well, we consider that commandment this evening, and that it speaks of spending time with God. Now, God states the fourth commandment in this way from Exodus 20. It's slightly different in Deuteronomy. I mean, same teaching, but there's more added to it in Deuteronomy. I'll just read from Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son, your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Keep one day holy. Work 6 days. Rest on the holy day. Now, as we look at the world around us, clearly, this commandment is violated, ignored. But there are many who claim to be Christians who also ignore this command, saying it does not apply to New Covenant saints. It does not apply to the church, the Christian church today. They think it only applied to the Jews of old. But there are 10 commandments, not 9. There will always be 10 commandments, not 9. God has not done away with any of these 10 commandments. They flow from His nature. They are the moral law. Now, that being said, there's an element of how this is stated in Exodus 20 that can be considered ceremonial. Some that was fulfilled with Christ and does not in that way apply for New Covenant saints today. But the heart of this command is moral, not ceremonial. It abides. This commandment clearly ties our Sabbath resting to God's resting on the seventh day of creation. And that shows it's rooted in time before the Old Covenant. Even before sin entered into the world, the Sabbath was there, the holy day was there. And therefore, Jesus redeeming us from sin, bringing the new covenant, that does not undo, repeal the Sabbath day. No more than Jesus redeeming us from sin undoes marriage, undoes family, undoes our callings in the world. This commandment abides yet today. Before we go on, remember the principle for understanding these commandments, the principle that they're stated in the form of the starkest violation of the righteousness God has in mind. Of course, this principle applies when the commandment is stated in terms of something we should not do, when it's stated negatively. How should we understand this principle when the commandment states something we should do, stated positively? Well, it gives the strongest, then, example of the righteousness required of the command. The fourth commandment, it uses both ways of stating the principle, both ways of stating that righteousness. Positive, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. And then negatively, on it, the Sabbath day, you shall not do any work. Work. Physical rest. They're used as the extremes for some of what this commandment brings out. And part of what we want to focus on this evening is it brings out spending time with God. Spend time with God. Now, first, we want to consider that this is time well spent. This is time well spent. Now, when we speak of spending time with God, of course, all our time as believers is lived before the face of God. Maybe you've heard that Latin phrase, coram Deo, before the face of God, living in communion with God. But just as there's a difference, children, in your families, you do chores, you plant a garden, and then you share a meal. You have a celebration. So there are differences in our relationship with God during our everyday work, everyday leisure, and this day. The time God tells us to step away from that, away from work, away from leisure, and spend time with Him. We're always in the presence of God. As the Apostle Paul says, we are to pray continually. But there's a difference in coming away and focusing in fellowship with God, spending time with Him, and that's time well spent. It's what the psalmist longed for. We read some of that in Psalm 42, verse 2. He said, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Verse 5. He said this, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." The one whom God has made alive in Christ, the one whom He has regenerated, we who are born again, we thirst for God. To spend time with God satisfies our souls. We have turmoil. Our burdens in this world are being cast down in turmoil. How are they resolved here? Well, not by medication, not by this, that, or the other thing, but hope in God. He's deeply satisfying. The psalmist speaks of this in terms of thirsting, as we read. But in chapter 43, Psalm 43, verse 4, he speaks of this as going to God's altar, dwelling with God. He says, "God, my exceeding joy." That's not some carnal pleasure. It's not just some earthly thirst or some ecstatic experience. It is, though, a deep longing for God. It's a wonderful satisfaction. So we fellowship with Him. Now, how can that be? Well, the key is found in these psalms themselves. 42 verse 5, 42 verse 11, then 43 verse 5. In those verses, God is called our salvation. He's our God. We are by nature dead in our sins. And the reality of sin, of guilt and death, it's all around us in this fallen world. It's testified within us. God has provided righteousness and life. He's provided meaning and hope, a way of redemption, returning to God's favor. Because He's given His Son Jesus, as we know, in a way the psalmist didn't, could only look forward to. Jesus, who took upon Himself the guilt of our sin, the punishment, the terror, the turmoil that we deserve for our sin when He suffered on the cross. He took it all away when He rose on the third day. There is our salvation. God, through Jesus, has reconciled believers to Himself. God forgives the sins of all those who entrust themselves to Him. Find in God's salvation. Trust Him. Believer, this blessedness is for you. It is yours. Before we go further, since this fellowship is something only true believers in Jesus know, only the regenerate know, let me ask, do you know it? Are you born again? Do you thirst for the living God? Is God, God Himself, your exceeding joy? If not, you won't get this fourth commandment. It'll make no sense to you. It only makes sense to the regenerate, to those who thirst for God. We look around, that thirsting, it's not the case of the world around us, is it? What is the world looking for? It's looking for carnal pleasure, isn't it? Looks for something it can sense with the body, see, hear, taste, touch. No wonder the world has no regard for this fourth commandment. The world does not thirst for God, does not have God as its exceeding joy. Those two are linked. Either having God as your joy and keeping this day holy to Him, or having the world, sin, as your joy, so to speak, and using this day for it, for self. And as our culture has fallen away, even outwardly from true Christian religion, so too has esteem for Sunday, the Lord's Day. Shops are open. Restaurants are busy. Sports games, television shows, movies, videos, they fill this day. Work. It's true. Look at what someone ordinarily does on the Sabbath day, and you'll find where their joy is. You'll find their God. You'll find what they worship. So as your pastor, I ask you, what God do you worship? It's a joy to see many here. The triune God, our exceeding joy. That's where this command begins. For if He is, then you know spending time with God, it's time well spent. It's being filled with joy, strengthened in faith. All around us and within us because of our sinful nature, there is spiritual trial. There is sin, its effects, but not with God. Spending time with Him is like an oasis. Children, an oasis is an area in a desert, dry desert, where there's water. All around, for miles perhaps, nothing but heat, sun, and sand, and more sand. But then suddenly there's a patch of ground where water flows, where trees grow. That's what it's like for true believers to spend time with God. Our souls being cast down, as the psalmist says. It's turned to gladness, hope, joy. So we fellowship with the God of our salvation. All that God, the Lord, would move us, renew us more and more to know this joy, this satisfaction of soul that comes from spending time with God, to know it more and more. It is time well spent. May He continue to renew us our whole life long so we grow in our faith. And therefore, in being satisfied in spending time with God, what happens if, when we don't find that? That earnestness, that joy. Now, don't despair first. No one has perfect faith. No one delights in God. I don't as I ought. Not perfectly. It's one reason why we need salvation. Why we need to come to God. Why we need this Sabbath day. But as you find it, and children, young people, I was there too. You know, maybe you don't get it, as maybe your parents or other saints do. Don't despair, but ask God for mercy. Say, Lord, I realize I should thirst for You more, and I don't. I realize I should find this day a joy, but I find my heart, I want to play with my toys. I want to do this. I want to do that rather than rest and worship. Lord, forgive me and change me. Ask Him. He changes over time to find joy, more joy in Jesus. Not just on the Sabbath day, but every day. But that's where we begin as we consider this fourth commandment. Not just to think in terms of rules, in terms of what someone may do, must do, may not do, must not do. But the joy of spending time with God. Because just focusing on rules empties the day of its joy, takes the focus off. As the Catechism brings out, this is a festive day of rest, not a carnal festival, but a spending time with God type of festivity. It's time well spent. Well, as we find this to be the case, then we move to our other two points, the next one being time as a church. Time as a church. Look again at Psalm 42, verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Then Psalm 43, verse 3, send out Your light and Your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to Your holy hill and to Your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God. God, my exceeding joy, and I will praise You with the lyre, O God, my God. The psalmist wrote, in essence, of being with the church, with the throng, the multitude, as they went together to worship God. He wrote of coming to God's altar, It's where the congregation would go to worship God as a body. A part of this time the psalmist spends is with the church. And this time together, this time as God's people, being in God's presence together, worshiping God, that's where the greatest of the psalmist praise comes out in this psalm. It's the highlight of his spending time with God. Not spending it alone, although we'll come to that, but spending it with other saints. Now think of a family. Now, it's wonderful when a parent spends one-on-one time with a child, but most of our family time is spent as a family. In fact, we look back at shared experiences, celebrations. Those are the times when we're together, we look back. We even have Christmas songs about. How much more with the household of faith, the church? Yes, we gather as households to worship, and the children of believers are included with their parents in the church of God. But the basic bond in the church, it's spiritual. It's being joined to Christ by the Spirit through faith. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we gather for worship. Christ is present here. Present in a fuller way than in personal and even family worship. Now, the Catechism brings out the corporate, the church aspect of this commandment of spending time with God as a church. In fact, it's the core of the first part of the answer, of the explanation of the fourth commandment. It said that, especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people. And then it goes on to list four items that occur in the assembly, in the corporate worship service. And that reflects what we've seen, the biblical emphasis on the church assembling, that aspect of spending time with God. It's how the Catechism explains in part again the fourth commandment, corporate worship, worship as a congregation. I think we can see, as we look back again the past year, thirst for that, hopefully. Times when things are taken away, we realize, wow, we took it for granted. Hopefully we don't forget that. Hopefully it was a good reminder and teaching opportunity for parents of their children to come with the assembly, to come with the throng. Now it's good for us to think of the blessedness of corporate worship, to think of it as the fullest way of spending time with God, spending time with the household of faith, because there's the temptation of thinking of worship as just a task to do. We're tempted to maybe look at our watch, maybe get uptight, maybe a little restless if worship is going on for 75 minutes, perhaps even we get a little upset if it goes on for 90 minutes. Now, many in the broader Christian church world around us, even in Dutton, they see little benefit to worshiping twice on Sunday. Many churches in our area have only one type of service on the Lord's Day. They might have two or three morning services, but they're all the same. And almost all the churches in our area have significantly fewer persons in an evening service than the morning. But getting uptight about how long the service is going, not attending evening service or canceling it altogether, they're often symptoms of misunderstanding the value of corporate worship, even more, of not valuing spending time with God as we ought. Worship ought not to be simply a task, a duty of obedience. It is that, but it ought not to be just that. Spending time with God as a church, as a household of faith. There's no better way to spend the Lord's Day, to live according to this fourth commandment, than to attend the assembly God's people. But just as parents, you know, in a family, some people don't value family time as they should, as the rest do, so in God's family, there are some who do not value church time as they should, as others do. And in fact, that tempts us all. We need to examine our hearts. Are you uptight about how long a worship service is going? There are times where you don't attend the assembly of God's people as you ought. Are you viewing it as a task? Do you have the joy the psalmist brings out in worshiping God together as the church, spending time with God as a church? And where this is in your heart, and none of us is perfect, confess it to God. And say something like, Lord, I don't value corporate worship that much, or as much as I should. I don't delight in it as I should. I get distracted. I confess I'd rather be home, or I'd rather be doing this. Lord, please forgive me. Please change my heart. Please grant me that value, that delight. Then come to worship. Parents, keep bringing your children to worship. We don't let them just stay home because they may not want to come on this particular day. You don't have to try to drum up some feelings within you. But tell yourself the truth of what worship is. Pray to God about that. Step out in faith, doing it. God blesses that. Now, do we have to meet on this day? Well, we could get into that. We can say, certainly, we meet on Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, New Year's Day. Those are often, sometimes depending on the holiday, not on Sunday. Most often they aren't on Sunday. It's important to spend time with God's family. But to come together regularly, what better day than Sunday? It's the day as we sang in the song in which Jesus rose from the dead, bringing in our eternal rest. It's the day the early church, we have this found in the New Testament, they called the first day of the week the Lord's Day. It's the day most available in our culture. Setting aside this day to spend time with God corporately and personally, that's included in this commandment. Taking the entire day off, it promotes spending time with God. What do we do on a holiday or vacation? We try to step away from our work and we focus on family, don't we? We can apply that here spiritually. Think to our human interactions. Many today are distracted, aren't we? Maybe you're talking with someone and their phone goes off. Some people, while sitting in a group, they sit back and they're texting instead. You know, they're distracted. In order to really spend time, quality time, you put those things away. You step away. God knew that. He instituted that far before we could silence our cell phones. He did it in creation. Step away. God set one day apart, holy to Him. The commandment says holy to the Lord. It's not family day. It's the Lord's day. It's holy to Him, not family. Now, our six-day work obviously would distract us from spending this type of time with God. And so we're commanded explicitly, rest, don't work. But so too much of our six-day leisure distracts us from spending focused time with God. Now, some people perhaps think this commandment is only about work. But again, it's more. Work is the clearest example of what would keep us from spending time with God. Remember that principle. Whatever it is, work, leisure, that distracts us from spending time with God as a church, it's forbidden. Spend time with God. Again, parents, sometimes you've got to require your children. Put aside your work, put aside your play, come together as a family. So too, God requires in this commandment, put aside our work, put aside our play, spend time with Him as a church. Rest. Spend time with God, time as a church. But that's not all. As we move too briefly in our third point, we are also to spend time with God personally. Personal time. The Catechism takes the second part there of that answer. To extend the fourth commandment beyond one day, to every day. It says, every day of my life, I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. So setting aside one day a week, and on that day coming to corporate worship when it's called twice in our situation, meditating on worship throughout Sunday, it's not all that's included in this command. For not only are we to spend time with God as a church, we are to do it in our own homes. To come away from that which distracts us. And we read of that in Psalm 42, 43. These psalms are, in essence, prayers, for while the psalmist is away from corporate worship, yet still, as we read in 42, verse 8, by day the Lord commands His steadfast love, at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So then even while corporate worship is highest in the psalmist's heart, by day and night, at all times, he is aware of God's presence. He takes special time out of his six-day work and leisure during those 6 days to pray to the Lord, to meditate on his grace and love. The elders in this church encourage each person according to your ability. And think of that. Kindergartners, you're just finishing up the year. Maybe you're learning to read. First graders, certainly, you can read. You can read the Bible. You can read it for yourself. Do that, children. Don't just wait for your dad to read it or your mom to read it. You can read it. Take time to read the Bible. Take time to pray. And even you children, maybe you can't read yet, you can pray. Don't simply, though, let it be one task among many. Treasure that time. Even as you treasure spending time with the Lord. Husbands, fathers, as head of your household, you walk according to this commandment as you lead your family to spend time with God. Whether that be at the supper table, the breakfast table, whatever time works for your family, some other time, some other way. It's not just something we make time for as a task, but it's fellowshipping with God, spending time with God, personal time. God knows how busy we are during the week. And how this busyness, even good busyness, even being busy at the callings he gives us, again, good busyness. Busyness can draw our eyes and hearts away from God when we give them undue priority. Pull us away from the God we love. Think again in a marriage, husband and wife. You can be so busy with different things, you don't spend time with each other. What happens to your relationship? You grow distant. God wants you to serve him in various ways, but he also wants you to spend time with him. Bible reading, prayer. Take time to do that. And if you find there just aren't enough hours in the day, ask God. Say, Lord, I know I should make this a priority. I don't read your word as I ought. I need to have at least 10 minutes more in my day. Help me. Show me where. What we value, we make a priority. What we make a priority, we do. Ask God to work a greater desire in your heart to spend time with him, to his glory, to your own spiritual benefit. The truth of this commandment is found not only in resting from our good work, good leisure, labor, one day in seven, but in spending time with God. It's time well spent. Spending it as a church, spending it personally. Spend time with God. And be blessed. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the beginning, you created the world and all that is in it in the space of 6 days, evening and morning. And the seventh day you rested. And you tell us to image you, reflect you, do what you did in the sense of work 6 days and rest 1 7. And that time has not changed. Evenings, mornings, they still happen. Still, earth still goes around the sun. We rise, we wake, we go to bed. There's work to do. There's leisure in your kindness that you give us for refreshment. But there's still that day. Lord, may we have it holy to you. May we remember and keep. Not just as a bare duty. Lord, work in our hearts a thirst for you. The world around us does not thirst for you. Our sinful nature doesn't. But grant us that thirst, Lord. We pray for our children, our grandchildren. We know we were there at one time too. That thirst may not be as strong as you've developed it to be. We thank you for making it stronger in us. We pray for them. May they be blessed as they grow up in this environment of resting, of worshiping. May we honor your congregation, this corporate worship service, and honor time alone and as families with you. And all the busyness we have, Lord, have us make time. Again, the same time is there as it was in the beginning, 24 hours, 6 days. May we make right priorities. Give us the time to do all the work you've called us to do for that week and to be content to set it aside what remains. We pray for your blessing. May we not be drawn away by the world and what it does, for its heart is far from you. It is in darkness. But may we be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.